Hey, it is so good to see all of you this morning. I am glad you're here. And we are in our third morning, Sunday morning, of this new series that we started a couple of weeks ago called He Taught Us, Speaking About Jesus. And so this morning, we are going to be in Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to read down through a few verses, and it's going to kind of cover the verses that we did last week, because down at the very bottom of the verses that we said last week is this little verse, and this morning we're going to be talking about the golden rule. Now, how many of you know what the golden rule is? The golden rule is do to others before they do it to you, and then get out of there. No? No? Wow. That's kind of where a lot of people live today, though, right? Yeah, that's not what Jesus said. So let's read it. We'll read it down through here. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, it says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find." Remember, we talked about this last week. "Knock and the door will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." So it's an interesting little passage of scripture down in the bottom. So let me illustrate it to you like this. There's this seminary student, he's going to seminary, and he's very legalistic, so everything that he does, every decision he makes, he's got to have in the Bible chapter and verse. In the Bible chapter and verse. Everything that he does, got to have chapter and verse. So he's going to school, and all of a sudden, he sees this gal, and all of a sudden, he's madly in love with her. So they start courting. And every night, he walks her back to her dormitory room, and he looks longingly in her eyes, and he says to himself, "I would really love to kiss her, but chapter and verse, chapter and verse." He can't find it. He can't find it. This goes on for 2 weeks. So finally, at the end of 2 weeks, they're out. He takes her back to the dormitory room, and he's thinking to himself, "Lord, chapter and verse, chapter and verse, chapter and verse." He can't find it when suddenly this gal just grabs him by the shirt collar, pulls him in, and gives him this big old 10-second kiss right on the lips. She lets go of him, and he's just like, and he looks at her, and he goes, "Chapter and verse, chapter and verse." And she looks at him and says, "Do unto others as you would have them do to you." Now, that might be a bit of a stretch. Never mind. Just never mind on that one. So at the first glance, when we look at this scripture, it kind of doesn't look like chapter 12 goes with these previous verses, because Jesus was talking about God giving good gifts to those who ask, and then he finishes with the golden rule. So what's the connection here? So I think we're going to find it this morning. Jesus is highlighting God's love, and he's highlighting God's generosity. And I believe that he is also highlighting God's grace and God's mercy, because how often do we receive these things from God when we've messed up? Now, I know that you guys are all much better than I am in this room this morning, but I've messed up a few times in my life. I've had some things going on, and I'm so thankful for God's mercy and his grace, aren't you? And I'm thankful, and I appreciate what Pastor Jeremy said a few moments ago when he was doing the baby dedication. I'm proud of that, Mom. Good for you today. That's a big deal. And so anyways, presenting our kids to the Lord is really important, and living that life in front of them and giving them that godly example. So it's a big deal. That's a precious moment. But as we're going through life and we mess up, here's what I've always lived my life by. If you mess up, clean up. You know, we've talked before and we said, listen, failure is only failure if you stay down and you never get up again. You know, we got to fail, and there's going to be times that we're going to fail, but the Lord always helps us to get up and to move forward. And I want to encourage you today. We don't live in failure unless we fall and we stay down there. We grovel in that. If we get up, the Lord will help us, and we can keep moving on. So we look at that, and in this then, I really believe that the Lord has shown us, and Jesus gives us some points that we are already implementing as families to this degree when it comes to our children. We show them love. We're generous to them. We try and get them what they have need of. We show them grace. We show them mercy. We're always trying to pick them up and help them and lead them as they follow the Lord. But here's what we don't do. We don't give them anything that they want Just like God doesn't give us everything that we want. And aren't you thankful for that? You know, the thing that's interesting, I know that God does what's in our best interests, and what he does for us, he does out of love, and he wants us to do the same thing. From the time I was probably 5 years old, I knew how to drive my dad's pickup because we had animals and we lived on a farm, and I'd get in my dad's pickup and my dad would get in the back and he would kick hay out of the back and I'd be driving around this 66 GMC pickup. And so I just thought that's what kids did, you know. And so when Colby was little, he was driving. And but can I just tell you, when he hit middle school, I didn't just throw in my keys and say, hey, why don't you take dad's truck and head to school today? Pick up all your buddies on the way. Why? Because we know what would happen. And we won't. Yeah. He would have been mudding. That's what he would have been doing. But God doesn't give us everything that we want either, because he has our best interests in heart, and we do the same thing for our kids. But then Jesus takes this just a step further by challenging us to show the same kind of love to others. I believe there's four ways that the Lord shows us this in the scripture this morning. And the first one is this, is that he shows us that we're to treat others the way we are treated by God. How are you treated by God? Now I want you to think about that. And in our everyday dealings, and we're dealing with people, and can I just tell you that there's times that people rub us the wrong way, there's times that people grate on us, there's times that things happen. How do we treat them when those times come up? And it's a question that we have to ask ourselves, when that's us, how does God treat us? See, how does God treat us? Does he show us mercy? Does he show us grace? Does he show us forgiveness? Does he show us those things? I believe that he does. And I believe that in this passage, in the way that Jesus explains this, he's wanting us to treat others the way that we are treated by God. The second thing I believe he shows us is this, is that he shows us God, that he wants us to show God's love to others. Now, what is God's love? Does that mean that we put up with people's nonsense? No. I can love you without putting up with your nonsense. That'd be a good time for those of you that have walked through this to go, that's good preaching right there, Pastor. Okay? We can show people God's love without putting up with their nonsense. Okay? Because there are some people, you've heard me say this before, that just do have the spirit of dumb. And sometimes I have it. God wants us to show love to others. How do we love people? By being merciful, by being kind, by being loving toward them. The third thing I believe God shows us in this is he shows us and he wants us to show his generosity to others. You know, one of the things that I think is just a simple thing that we do that we don't hear very much anymore is people saying, hey, thank you. Thank you for that. You know, thank you for that. You know, and I just think there's something that's really important about saying thank you to people. There's something important about letting people know that you care about what they just did for you. This morning, and as you guys know, I have this routine. I drive through McDonald's every Sunday morning. Well, most every morning. And I'm driving through McDonald's, and the guy that works there, every time I go through there. So this morning I said to him, I said, his name's Michael, and I said, Michael, do they never give you a day off here? What's the deal? And he just gets this big grin on his face, and he goes, no, my days off are Fridays and Saturdays. Well, those happen to be the 2 days I don't go there. And I said to him, okay, I said, I just want to make sure that they're giving you a day off, you know, because he's always bubbly and he's always smiling and he's always just a good guy. But I thank him every morning for what he does, you know, and it doesn't matter what people do. It doesn't matter what their job is. It doesn't matter what their assignments are. Friends, listen, when they do something for us, we need to say thank you. And I believe that's showing God's generosity. I believe that's showing God's generosity toward others and be a blessing to them. The fourth thing is this, is that we're to show God's grace and mercy to others. Friends, listen, how many times have you stumbled and offended somebody or done something and people were merciful to you? You know, people were, they were filled with grace towards you. You know, and we look at that and we have to remember that's how God wants us to do that to other people too. Because here's the world that we live in. The world that we live in is what I said a while ago. When somebody offends us, you know what we do? We want revenge. You know, we want to get back at them. We want to pay them back for what they've done to us. And that's not what God wants us to do. Okay, now again, what I'm saying is this, is if you're in a situation where people are harming you or offending you or doing things, friends, listen, you can still love them as a person, but you don't have to put up with their nonsense. And we need to set boundaries and we need to put things around us. They teach us and teach these things in our celebrate recovery ministry. But it's important for us to remember that we need to show God's grace and mercy to others the way it's been shown to us. And I think it's so important. Friends, listen, people are going to fail you. People are going to do things that are going to hurt your feelings. People are going to do things that are going to be offensive to you. And we have to ask ourselves, how would God show mercy to us if we were in the same situation? And so what we need to do, because if we don't make those things right, can I just tell you, the Bible says that it begins to cause a root of bitterness to grow up on the inside of us, and it defiles us. And we don't want that root of bitterness. So the golden rule sums up what the scripture said and what Jesus said was this, was the law of the prophets, because it was all about love. Loving God and loving others. And that's what Jesus said were the two greatest commandments. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 34, it says this, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees and the Pharisees, remember who those guys were? They were the spiritual leaders of the day. They were the religious leaders of the day. It says, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question and said, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Now, when we look at this passage right here, and when we think about this, can I tell you what the driving force is behind the golden rule? It's love. The driving force behind the golden rule is love. In Romans 13, verse 8, it says this, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. So we look at that and we think, okay, I want to be a godly person. I want to be a Christian brother. I want to be somebody that represents the Lord well. I want to be somebody that exemplifies every day in my life what it looks like to be a godly person. But friends, can I just tell you, there's going to be conflict every day. There's going to be conflict on our job. There's going to be conflict in your home. There's going to be conflict with your kids. There's going to be conflict all around us. And what the Lord is trying to help us do is to deal with that conflict in a way that brings people toward us instead of pushing people away from us. Because here's what the Bible says. Jesus said this, if I be lifted up from the earth, what would he do? He would draw all people to himself. And friends, the greatest thing that we can do is if we learn to love people, even when they wronged us, even when we've gone through those kind of things, and I'm not saying that we have to put up with their nonsense, but there's still ways that we can treat people in a loving fashion, in a loving manner. Here's what the Lord does. He is demonstrated in our lives, and people see Jesus in us. Because they're looking today and they're thinking to themselves, that's not godly. How do I know that? Because I've been one of those people, maybe like some of you have, that I haven't done that, I haven't made the right choice, and somebody will look at you and they'll just challenge you and they'll say, well, I thought you were supposed to be a Christian. You know, and all of a sudden you've done this. So it's important for us to represent ourselves. It's important for us to live for the Lord Jesus. And it's important for us to treat people graciously, to show mercy, to show kindness, and especially to those that are closest to us. Especially to those that are closest to us. The second thing that we see in this passage of Scripture is that love, and Jesus told us that we're supposed to love to the fullest extent. Love to the fullest extent. What does that mean? Well, I believe that there's some misinterpretations of the golden rule, and one of them is this, do unto others as they do unto you. In other words, what someone does to you, do the same thing to them. Now, you look at it and you think, well, that's appropriate, you know, and you'd think that was good. Well, let me just say there's a couple things wrong with this, and the first thing that I believe is wrong with it is this, that Jesus is trying to get us past, is the first thing is this, is that it causes us to never be the initiator. Only the responder. It never causes us to be the initiator, only the responder. Can I tell you, God wants us to be the initiator. If we have this and we submit ourselves to what I just read to you, then you aren't kind to anyone unless they're kind to you. And if you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. And it's easy to be a fan of the golden rule when we are the recipients of the golden rule. But how often are we quick to want to initiate the golden rule? In other words, I'm the one that's going to take the first step. I'm the one that's going to be a blessing to you. I'm the one that's going to love you. I'm the one that's going to move toward you instead of waiting for you to move toward me. That's being a person that initiates it. There's a quote that says this: the golden rule is of no use to you whatsoever unless you realize that it's your move first. We have to move first. Another problem with that theology that I just talked to you about is this, is that we can use it, and people have used it, and people do use it, to support revenge. If someone wrongs me, then I now have justification to wrong you back. That's not what Jesus is saying. In Luke chapter 6, we see Jesus dismantling these misconceptions. In Luke 6, 27, it says this: but I tell you who hear me, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Now, Pastor Jeremy preached on this a while back in one of the messages that we preached. And it says, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on the cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, then do not demand it back. Do to others what you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, then what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, then what credit do you get? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those to whom you have, and if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners and expect to be repaid in full. But love your enemies and do good to them and lend to them without expecting anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Now, friends, I look at that, and I think to myself as we go through that and look at what's happening in this, is we are always good about lending, but we always expect to get back from it. You know, we're always expecting to get back. When is the last time that we gave without expecting anything in return? And see, those are important steps that we do. When have we given without expecting to get back? You know, one of the things that I learned very, very young, and I remember a older man telling me this, he said this: listen, there's always going to be people over the years as you grow up and as you go through things that are going to ask you for a loan or they're going to ask for money. And he said this: never give to them if you're expecting them to give it back to you. He said, if you don't have it to give, then don't give it to them. Because if you give it to them and you're expecting to get back and then they don't give it back to you, then do you see what it causes? It causes that vengeful stuff. It causes all that stuff. And I thought it was wise counsel, and it was good. But what reward do we get, you know? And I know that this scripture, it sounds pretty extreme, and I don't think Jesus is saying that we should be looking for opportunities to take advantage of that if we are, and especially on a continual basis, that we're supposed to just suck it up and deal with it. Here's what wisdom would say: if you can avoid such circumstances, then do it. What Jesus is teaching is very radical, and really it's downright impossible to do without him, because when this stuff's happening to us, we'll never be able to face it unless Jesus, who dwells on the inside, helps us to walk through it. Because here's what we do: we're about getting even, we're about getting back. And so what we have to do is every day say, Lord, help me to walk the way you want me to walk. Help me to conduct my life the way you want me to conduct my life. Help me to answer the way you want me to answer. And we can go through these things and the Lord helps us. Because we're programmed not to put up with mistreatment without a fight, without retaliating in some way. But we know that Jesus didn't teach just what he said right there. He lived it out every day. Wow, I think about all the suffering that Jesus went through. I think about all the people that mocked him and cursed him and all the things that happened. And here's Jesus hanging on the cross, and he looks down from the cross, and what does he say? Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. See, here's what we do. We justify it, and we go, they knew exactly what they were doing. You know, when they've wronged me, they knew what they were doing. When they've wronged you, they knew exactly what they were doing, didn't they? You know, and so we have to look at it and say, without God's help, there's no way we can do this. There's no way we can do it. Jesus highlights that we need to be different, The non-believer, he says, knows how to be nice to those who are nice to him, but we're called to a higher standard. And living by the golden rule is that higher standard, but we have to be the people that initiate it. What kind of impact does it have when we do what's uncommon? Some may think that we're crazy and weak, and it happens. They thought Jesus was the same way. You know, they thought Jesus was weak because of the way he took their ridicule from the people and some of the things. So people are going to look at us differently and say, I would have never put up with that, and I would have never that, and they shouldn't have, you know, and one thing another. But you have to do what Jesus is speaking to your heart. But here's what other people think. Other people will see it and go, man, that was a pretty big deal. Have you ever bitten your lip until it bled? I want you to think about that. No, I don't, and maybe you have, literally. But friends, what I'm saying is this, is that there are people watching your life every single day, and they're watching how you treat other people. Now I'm going to make this statement. I said this in the first service, and I'm not trying to be snotty or catty, okay? That probably wasn't a good word to use in church, but I used it, and it already slipped out of my thought bubble, okay? But here's what happens to me. Gretchen and I have the occasion to be out with a lot of people from time to time. And one of the things that I do, and one of the things that I enjoy doing is getting to know people. But one of the things a long, long time ago that I started putting down into my memory bank is when I go out with couples or we're with couples, I always watch how the guy treats the wife and the wife treats the guy, because if they treat each other in a weird way or in a derogatory way, I don't go out with them again. And the reason I don't is because I don't have time to listen to that. I want to be with people that love their spouse, they love each other. They're the kind of people that are builders, not people that tear down. And you know what? My time away and doing things like that, I have to be able to enjoy people and do those kind of things. So I'm not saying that to point fingers, and I'm not saying that to do anything. But friends, listen, I think it's really important because we learn the golden rule first and foremost in our home. We learn at home. How do you treat your wife? How do you treat your husband? How do you treat your kids? You know, how do we treat each other? Those are things that we have to look at, and I believe this is what Jesus is talking about. What kind of impact does it have when we do the uncommon? Now, there's another lesser variation of the golden rule, and it goes like this. Do not do to others what you don't want done to you. Now, this is a good thing, and it sounds good, but again, it's very limited, so let me say it like this. If I don't want to be stolen from, then I'm not going to steal. Okay? If I don't want to get punched in the face, then I'm not going to punch somebody in the face. Okay? But that and that kind of theology is about resistance. It's about restraint. It's not about being proactive. And Jesus is talking about initiation. Do not just refrain from doing. Restraint is good, but initiation goes further. And that's why there's a lot of religions today that they'll teach different references of what we just talked about right here. There's different variations that they'll talk about. I read you a couple of them there about the golden rule. But none of them come close to what Jesus has called us to do. When asked, remember this story in the Bible? And it's a true story, by the way. Who is my neighbor? Remember whenever Jesus was talking about our neighbors and they said, well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus responded with the story of the Good Samaritan. Because the Jews hated the Samaritans. Remember it says that he was coming down from Jericho and he fell among robbers and he was laying in the middle of the road and he was beaten to a pulp. And who comes down the street? A pastor. Who comes down the street? One of the religious leaders. And the guy, they walk by on the other side of the road because they don't want to have anything to do with it. They walk by on the other side. And then all of a sudden, here comes this Samaritan man. And what does he do? Says that he takes care of him. Says he takes care of his wounds. He takes him to the Super 8 motel. He puts him there. And he says to the manager at the Super 8, however much it costs, until I get back, I'll take care of this for him. Friends, listen, who's our neighbor? We have to ask ourselves that question. The Bible says this, and what Jesus is saying is that everyone is our neighbor, even our enemy. Third thing that we do, and this is a big thing to me, and I think it's really important, is we always have to say this, and you guys have heard me say this as your pastor for a number of years. Don't pretend to know what people are going through if you've never gone through what they've gone through, because you don't know. you don't know. I mean, we are to love people, we are to be compassionate, we're to show mercy. But friends, listen, there's things that people have gone through that I've not gone through, and I'm not going to pretend that I know what they're going through. There are people that I know that have lost their spouse. I've not lost my spouse. I don't know what that's like. There are people that have lost children. I've never lost one of my children. I don't know what that's like. There are people that have gone through all sorts of critical things. And can I tell you, the worst thing that we can do for those people is to walk up and say, I know what you're going through. I know how you feel, because you don't. And this is what Jesus is saying to us. Don't try and do that until you've put yourself in those people's shoes and begin to understand what it is that they're going through. Friends, listen, I come in here on Wednesday night, and this room usually has somewhere between 70 and 100 people in it on Wednesday night that are coming to celebrate recovery. A lot of those people, the Lord Jesus Christ has done a phenomenal work in their life and is healing them up. Others that are brand new, the Lord's beginning to work in their heart. The Lord's beginning to work in their life. But there are a lot of these people that come to that, I haven't been through what they've been through. But here's what I know. I've got great compassion for them. And I've got great encouragement for them that if they'll keep following Jesus and they'll keep letting Jesus work in their heart, he'll change their life forever. And friends, it's the important thing. And we have to look at it and we have to think this. And one of the things that the people in CR know is that occasionally people relapse. Occasionally people are going to slip back. Occasionally things are going to happen. But one of the things that blesses me so much about CR is I've watched those people continue to open their arms and welcome those people back and tell them, you know what? You got to keep moving forward. You know what? You gotta brush the dust off of you. You gotta keep moving forward. They continue to open their arms to them and they continue to love them. And can I tell you what? If that wasn't happening, we wouldn't be doing that in our church. Because that's what Jesus is all about. I'm one of those guys that there was a period of time in my life, in my teenage years, that I'd go to church every Sunday and I got saved every Sunday. And then I went out and lived like the devil the whole rest of the week. You know, it's like the people that sow their wild oats on Saturday night and then pray for crop failure on Sunday morning, right? That was me. So I know what it means when people talk about Jesus and they say that Jesus is the God of the second chance. And in my case, the third chance and the fourth chance and the fifth chance. And I'd probably lost count of how many times. But can I tell you that I still mess up today? And we all do. But when we mess up, what do? We clean up and we make things right with Jesus and we put ourselves back. But friends, listen, to know that we have to put ourselves in other people's shoes, because when we think about that and we have the care and the concern and we love people the same way that we would want that same kind of love, that we can impart that to others that are around us. What is in, where we have troubles, it's easy for us to have a better than that, have that idea that I'm better than you. And friends, there's nobody like this in this room today. Nobody's better than the other. We're all the same today. And can I just tell you, and I say this kindly, and I say it graciously, and I say it respectfully, that all of us in this room today are just sinners that have been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for his grace, and I'm thankful for his mercy. Amen? The golden rule is about putting yourself in someone else's shoes. It's thinking about what you want someone else to do for you if you were in their place. What would you want someone else to do for you if you were in their place? Did you hear me? Let's watch this video and then we'll finish.
In a small town in the middle of Washington State, on a field inside a chain link fence, in a game fewer than 100 people saw, a home run memorable not for the distance it traveled, or the game it decided, but for the meaning it carried. The last Saturday in April, the second game of a softball doubleheader between Central Washington and Western Oregon.
Well, we were both neck and neck fighting for the conference championship.
As a senior, this was Sarah Tarkowski's last chance to win her championship. She'd never hit a home run before, not in college, not in her life.
A 5'2", I'm not very tall. I'm more a line drive hitter. I don't hit for power.
But in the top of the second inning, with two runners on the second pitch, that changed.
Yeah.
Central Washington team lost the game that day, 4-2. Sarah Tucholsky lost the rest of her season and her career to a knee injury. But for the spirit of sportsmanship, a greater victory, made on a long trot around the bases, a trip that truly touched them all.
I have a lot of respect for her and put her in high regards, her and her teammates. And, you know, I can't thank her enough.
So here's my question for us. How bad do we have to win? You know what I mean? And friends, it's a big deal to do the right thing. It's a big deal to do what Jesus has told us to do in this. Because if we'll do the right thing and we'll just love people and we'll follow the golden rule, the Lord will make sure that you get what you need. That's the thing that blesses me about the Lord. And so we look at it so many times and we think, yeah, but they wronged me, or they this, or they that, or the other thing. And again, I'm going to ask us the question, but how bad do we have to win? Because we live in a competitive world today. You know, we live in a competitive world. There's a big competitive spirit that we face every day in the life that we're living, whether it's in our family, whether it's on our job, whether it's in a sporting event, no matter where it is, there's that competitiveness that we've got to win. And friends, sometimes Jesus is saying, you know what? It's more important to love somebody and to do the right thing than to have to win. It's more important. So I'm thankful to the Lord today. And you know, the thing that blesses me so much about this is Jesus said this, do to others what you would have them do to you. So I want to think about that. I want to think about it when I leave my garage every day. I want to think about that when I come to the church every day. I want to think about that when I'm at the grocery store. I want to think about that when I'm at CR. I want to think about that whenever I'm doing business downtown. I want to think about those things all the time and say, is the love that I'm demonstrating to people reflecting of the Jesus that lives on the inside of me, that's pointing Jesus out to them? Because Jesus said, if I'll be lifted up, what will I do? He said, I'll draw people to myself and people will come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So Lord, thanks for today. It's a precious day to be in your house. It's a precious day, Lord Jesus, to know you. And Lord Jesus, we have such a phenomenal church. And Lord, again today, I'm so thankful to be a part, Lord Jesus, of this church family. Lord, I count it a tremendous privilege to be a part of this church family. But Lord, as we gather in this room this morning, we're just a small fragment of an extended church family throughout our community. And Lord Jesus, I'm going to ask this morning, and I'm just going to pray boldly, Lord, for all of our churches in our community. God, I'm going to pray for all those that call themselves Christians, that, Lord, that we would demonstrate the love of Jesus every day, that we would demonstrate the love of Jesus, whether we're on our jobs, Lord, whether we're in the hospital, Lord Jesus, whether we're at the grocery store or buying gas, Lord, no matter where we are, whether it's in our family at night, that, Lord Jesus, that we would demonstrate the love of Christ toward those that are around us. God, help us to understand that it's not about winning or losing. Lord, it's about having a heart that cares for people. It's about having a heart that's filled with mercy and grace. It's about having a heart that loves people and realizing that sometimes that we're going to be disappointed. Sometimes, Lord Jesus, things are going to happen that we are going to feel like that we want to take revenge. But Lord, I'm asking today that, Lord Jesus, that you would help us, Lord, to put that aside. And that, Lord, that we would remember that you said that we're to pray for our enemies, that we're to do good for those who have wronged us. And God, sometimes that's simply just praying for them. And God, I'm asking that, Lord, that you would help us today to have hearts that would never have a root of bitterness that's being produced on the inside. But Lord Jesus, that every day we would walk in the fullness of your character, Lord, in the fullness of your power, in the fullness of your might, and that, Lord Jesus, that you would help us to hear your voice, and that, Lord, that we would treat others the way we want to be treated. But Lord, the most important thing is this, help us to be the initiators, not just the responders. Lord, even when they don't deserve it, that we'll be kind. Even when they don't deserve it, that we'll be loving. Even when they don't deserve it, that, Lord Jesus, that we would reach out. And Lord, we thank you for it. Because Lord Jesus, your word says that you loved us first before we ever loved you. Lord, you loved us. And I thank you for that. So, Lord, today I just pray that surrounding this group of people today, that, Lord, that you'd wrap them in your arms of mercy and your great grace. Lord, that you would just love on them today. That you would put your power down deep in their soul today, Lord. I pray that you'll give them courage. Lord, even as we sang a while ago, that you'll give them strength. That, Lord Jesus, that you'll help them to navigate, Lord Jesus, the rough waters that we call life. Because, Lord, it's not always easy. Lord, help us to do what is right in your sight, even when no one else is looking. Jesus, help us to do what is right in your sight, even when no one else is looking. And I praise you for it. And we honor you and we worship you. And we give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, would you stand? Let's sing this song with Colby one more time. And then we'll close in prayer. God bless you this morning. Mm-hmm.